Welcome back. This is Yachts, the Perfect Escape Vehicle, and we're talking about a very important subject to live aboard yachts, which is anchoring and anchors. And Stephen was talking about these heavy anchors and like a 90-pound anchor. Well, how do you haul that thing up?
Well, you have a big electric winch up on the bow called a windlass with a gypsy, which is designed to wind the chain up. How we organize it is when we go into an anchorage, I'm at the helm and Estella's at the bow, and she generally lets the anchor out. When we retrieve the anchor, then my job is to go on the bow and Estelle does the driving. So this is a pretty powerful winch, and it winds the chain up and drops it into an anchor locker. And then, of course, at the last bit, generally I like to pull it up by hand so I don't have the windlass jamming the anchor against the bow rollers. You know, there are a few different ways, a few things to consider when you get to a foreign port. You can either go into a marina. A lot of places have mooring balls that you can pick up. And, of course, the old traditional anchoring. I like to invest in good anchor, ground tackle, as it's known, because if you go into a marina, obviously you're going to be paying, and you know, even if it's cheap, it's still an expense. And once you're on the dock, of course, you know, you're going to plug into shore power, so now you're going to be charging your batteries and you're going to be using their water, and so you're starting to now get back on the grid. Mooring balls are pretty good because they generally are pretty secure and they dived on. So if you do get a good blow, your mooring ball should hold. But my personal feeling is that if you spent the money on good ground tackle, you're as safe as you could be, and you're completely off the grid. I mean, just think of all the things you're going to miss, you know. You have no landline phone, you got no property tax, you got no car or license fees or road taxes, you get no electricity bill, there's no water bill, there's no garden service, there's no rent, there's no mortgage, no KVT, no TV cable bill. Although you can get TV cable now, there's a track vision system that's satellite, so if you're really addicted to TV, you can get it. You know, no municipal rates or taxes for garbage collection, etc. So there's a lot of stuff you're going to miss from living on the land. You know, it's a waterfront lifestyle, Liz.
And when you were cruising a few years ago, just generally, how often were you in a marina? How many days out of the month were you on the anchor?
In the Indian Ocean, zero. Never ever went to a marina, never ever picked up a mooring ball. Red Sea was pretty much the same, you know, all the way up. We only started going into marinas. It was quite a new experience for us, actually. It was when we got into the Mediterranean. But, of course, we always anchored off when we could because it's expensive in the Mediterranean, you know, to go into marinas. And, of course, anchorages are pretty crowded.
Yeah, we started off like as Stephen said in South Africa. It's mostly you anchor or you go into harbors, but then when we started sailing in the Indian Ocean, it was almost always on the anchor, and we enjoyed that lifestyle because it's private. It is, you know, at the time we didn't have air conditioning on our boat, so you're out there in the breeze. You know, it's freedom, it's independence, self-reliance. Marina, even though it's nice once in a while, you get nice, you know, you can douse your boat with fresh water and so forth. We still prefer, if we can, to anchor off.
Speaking of dousing with fresh water, what did you do about laundry? Did you have a maid on that boat?
Yeah, the laundry maid were my 2 feet in a bucket. At first that's how I started off. You know, in Madagascar, we used to find these little streams and go and wash our laundry in the stream. As ridiculous as that might sound, but we, you know, at the time all we wore was a swimsuit, a t-shirt, and a sarong. So we didn't have much to wash. Now it's a different story. You know, a lot of the boats, the modern boats, have washer dryers, and it's really nice to have, although they are water guzzlers and they are electricity guzzlers. So if I can, I prevent, you know, doing that, and I just take the laundry to a laundry facility on shore.
Yeah, talking about clothes, etc., you know, when you're making passage, you don't really wear much anyway, so there's not much to wash. I know that sounds scary, but it brings to mind a story about an old buddy of mine, Pete, and he lived off the grid for about 20 years. He sailed around the world in a 34-foot wooden double-ender. Took him like 10 years, I think. I think his average speed was 3.5 knots. But we met up in St. Martin, and we were actually in a marina. He had his wife with him, and we were going to go across to the Soggy Dollar Bar, which was our favorite bar in Simpson Bay. And Pete came over, and he was barefoot, and he said, "Steve, just lend me a pair of flops or something. Well, you know, I don't want to go all the way back to my boat to get flops." And I thought about it for a while. I looked at him, and I said, "Pete, I've got to be honest with you. I actually only have this one pair of shoes. I don't own another pair." Of course, that's changed living in America, you know. Now we live on a dock. The umbilical cord is plugged into shore power, water power, and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's amazing how quickly you can sort of go native again.
Definitely. The one thing, if people ask me, you know, what I would do differently if I go sailing, for sure I would take less clothing, because I loaded that boat up with everything. With everything I could possibly think of, and I, you know, a lot of it I had to throw away. It gets moldy, it falls apart. You know, the things that we wore were our swimsuits, t-shirts, and sarongs. So for sure, no more clothes.
Sounds like a great lifestyle. Hey, let's talk about electronics. There have been a lot of technological innovations in the recent years, and there's a lot of great things that you can put on the boat. Some are absolutely necessary. Others are just kind of optional, but really nice to have. Can you talk about that?
Yep. GPS has certainly, you know, opened up the oceans to many more people than used to be able to go out. I mean, I've only ever personally made one passage using a sextant, and I did it just to show myself that I could. It's far easier just sitting looking at your chart plotter and using your GPS. So, you know, a good chart plotter and GPS is I guess, absolutely a compulsory these days.
Now, wait, what is a chart plotter? Can you explain that?
Yeah, a chart plotter is essentially like these navigation systems that you put in a car. You know, it's got a screen. And instead of having roads, it has the oceans and the depths and contour lines, etc., and rocks and bricks and whatever's there. And you're a little boat that's going along. It's almost like playing a video game. It's very accurate. So that's a very important tool. Another very important tool, in my opinion, is radar. You know, I use radar a lot. I even use it to navigate where there's coral by using a chart and seeing how far off a headland the coral extends, and then making sure I don't get closer than that using my radar and the signature of the headland. So radar is pretty important and very comforting to have at night. SSB radios, this is a big subject. You know, I've had SSB radios in all my boats. This boat, I decided not to put one in just right now, because with the advent of sat phones and the Iridium system has become so good that you can actually pick up weather, you can do emails, and in fact you got voice calls. And I think that eventually what will happen is that Iridium sat phones are going to probably get rid of SSBs, except for the old salty traditionalists who, you know, want to be struggling and trying to tune in and worrying about propagation and all sorts of other things. But you know, not a bad thing to have. If I went cruising across the Pacific, I'd probably install one. VHF radio is very, very important. VHF is line of sight radio, And that's used all the time. That is like your telephone. That's your landline. That's how you call everybody. 16 is your hailing channel. That's where the radio nets are, where everyone communicates. That's how you call marinas. That's how you call other ships. That's how you call the authorities. So VHF is very important. And then, of course, probably one of my favorite instruments is we have a Ray Marine autopilot, fondly known as Ray. And Ray does all the driving. When I'm 10 foot off the dock, I'm already probably on Ray. You know, autopilot is great these days. Use very little power and very accurate. So I think an autopilot is absolutely essential as well. So that's the basic array of instruments apart from your wind, depth, and speed.
Well, thank you. Looks like we're running out of time. And you will find us here, same time, that's 3 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, on the Overseas Radio Network. And you've been listening to Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle. This is Gary Fretz. We'll see you next week.